Today is Monday, February 4th. The good, the bad, and the most talked about from the Super Bowl, and why it made history. Also, why Democrats demand a governor from their own party step down, and the latest thing to know about the economy. Plus, what it takes to get Beyoncé's concert tickets for life, and what Disney is doing for the first time. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, the biggest TV event of the year made NFL history, but not necessarily the good kind. CBS Sports confirms last night's game was the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever, with a final score of just 13-3. Of course, the New England Patriots won over the Los Angeles Rams. It's the Patriots' sixth Super Bowl title. And the most valuable player, or MVP, went to Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman. Mixed reactions about that halftime show with Maroon 5, Travis Scott, and Big Boy. Some are wondering what singer Adam Levine meant when he said protesting players' voices would be heard during the performance. There was no obvious statement about social justice during the show. Although Variety says Travis Scott and the NFL did donate $500,000 to a nonprofit that supports social justice issues, and Maroon 5 reportedly donated another $500,000 to Big Brothers Big Sisters. Still, some celebrities said they were boycotting the game altogether, not even watching at home, while others took the chance to get in front of the largest TV audience of the year, especially in commercials, which were lighter on the political topics this year. Celebrities ranging from Serena Williams talking empowerment for Bumble to Sarah Jessica Parker ordering a beer for Stella Artois. Speaking of beer, Bud Light caused some controversy when its commercial called out its competitors for using corn syrup, something that the National Corn Growers Association was definitely not happy about and made that clear on Twitter. Reuters points out one big theme of this year's commercials was robots and artificial intelligence, whether it was a tech company promoting it or not. Also, for the first time in more than a decade, Coca-Cola did not run an ad during the game, only before it. And the Washington Post ran its first Super Bowl ad about the importance of the press. Still, many critics are saying the game, the halftime show, and the commercials were all sort of mediocre, and everyone tried to play it safe. Before the big game, CBS News aired an interview with President Trump about several issues. Here are a few of them. President Trump said he has not ruled out the option of another government shutdown. If Congress does not approve that $5.7 billion he wants for a border wall or barrier, and remember the deadline for negotiations is February 15th, so it's coming up. The president also talked about Venezuela and said military intervention is, quote, an option. Remember, the country's president, Nicolas Maduro, is trying to hold on to power, while the opposition leader, Juan Guaido, is claiming to be the new president, and countries like the U.S. are supporting the new guy. President Trump also talked football in the CBS interview before the big game. Trump says while he likes to watch, he probably would not let his 12-year-old son play football because of the risks of brain injuries. More from the president expected tomorrow when he gives the State of the Union address. Stay tuned. First the U.S., then Russia, pulled out of an agreement not to make certain nuclear missiles. The Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty, known as the INF Treaty, was a truce in 1987 during the Cold War. But the U.S. has accused Russia of violating the rules for years, and it's caused plenty of tension. On Friday, CNN reports the Trump administration said it is suspending that treaty and calling on Russia to comply. But a day later, Russia said it is now suspending the treaty as well, and that the country will start to build weapons banned under the agreement. The New York Times says U.S. leaders hope to revive the treaty and set a deadline. Russia has 6 months to destroy its nuclear missiles, or the U.S. will permanently end the treaty. To be continued. The governor of Virginia says he will not resign, even as members from his own party tell him he should. The issue? A racist photo in a yearbook. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam's medical school yearbook from 1984 shows a picture of one person in blackface and another dressed in a KKK robe. The AP reports Northam first apologized for being one of the men in the photos, but the very next day he said he's not on that page of the yearbook at all. Northam did admit to painting his face black as part of a costume for a dance in the 1980s, and he apologized for that, asking for the chance to earn forgiveness. But USA Today says other Democrats demand he resign. Still, he says he plans on finishing his term, which ends in 2020. We'll see. Here's a good sign for the economy. The U.S. added 304,000 jobs last month, even in the middle of the government shutdown. The Washington Post says it surpassed expectations. In fact, this is the 100th month in a row of job gains in the U.S., which is more than double the last record. But the unemployment rate went up to 4%. That probably did have something to do with the furloughed government workers last month. Also, this jobs update. Foxconn says it is moving forward with its TV manufacturing plant in Wisconsin after all. Fox Business reports Foxconn cited a chat with President Trump for the decision. Trump initially did support the plan back in 2017. Remember, just last week, Foxconn said it was possibly backing out of that promise to build the factory, considering a smaller tech hub instead. But it seems plans have changed again. Foxconn is expecting $4 billion in tax credits over the next 15 years and has promised 13,000 new jobs. More news still ahead, but a quick break to tell you about today's sponsor, Audible. If you love listening to the newsworthy on the go, you will likely love listening to a book on the go as well, especially for those longer commutes or when you're traveling. Or perhaps you have a goal to read more in 2019. Well, listening to books is a great way to do that. Authors include everyone from Marie Kondo to J.K. Rowling to U.S. Navy SEALs. And if you're not quite sure whether you'll like listening to a book, well, you can get a free 30-day trial to find out. And the best part, you get a free audiobook when you sign up that you can keep no matter what. So just go to audibletrial.com/thenewsworthy. That's audibletrial.com/thenewsworthy to get your free trial and free audiobook. Now back to the news. Facebook turns 15 today. Business Insider says CEO Mark Zuckerberg launched the social networking site on February 4th, 2004. Since then, it's become the most popular social media platform in the world and made Zuckerberg the fifth richest person in the world. And just last week, we mentioned the company posted record profits. Of course, Facebook has had plenty of PR problems over growing privacy concerns, like that big scandal last year, where the data firm Cambridge Analytica got a hold of 87 million Facebook users' data. Fox Business says Facebook still made $22 billion in 2018. Two things to tell you about Groundhog Day, which was on Saturday. NBC News says Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow, which means spring is coming early. Of course, this is a fun tradition, but CNN reminds us not to get too excited. The famous groundhog is usually wrong. Government stats even show he's only right about 40% of the time. Also, remember the 1993 movie Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray plays Phil Connors, who repeats the same day over and over? Well, there's a new version of it, a sequel of sorts. Not a second movie, but a new virtual reality video game. Variety says the new game puts players into the life of Phil Connors Jr., the son of Phil Connors and Rita Hansen from the original film. The game is called Groundhog Day, like father, like son. It was not a great weekend for the movie business. The Hollywood Reporter says Super Bowl weekend is always a challenge, but this year's ticket sales were especially bad. This was the worst Super Bowl weekend at the box office in nearly two decades. And Variety says the super cold weather may have also caused people to stay home and away from theaters. That said, the movie Glass was number one for the third weekend in a row. Beyoncé is giving away free tickets to her concerts for life. That is, if you're willing to go vegan, or at least eat more plant-based. Entertainment Tonight reports fans who pledge to do a plant-based diet, called Green Print, will be entered to win two free tickets to every Beyoncé or Jay-Z concert for the next 30 years. The singer is hoping to educate her fans on the health benefits of plant-based and why it's good for the planet. To sign up, go to Green Print's website. You can also find a link in today's show notes on thenewsworthy.com. Disney is doing something for the very first time. Disneyland Paris will be the first Disney park to host an official LGBTQ event. NBC News reports the park will host Magical Pride on June 1st. Magical Pride has actually been an unofficial event at the park since 2014, but this year the Walt Disney Company is taking it over, making it an official celebration. And that's it. You are all caught up from the weekend. If you want to read more about any of the stories mentioned, just go to the homepage of thenewsworthy.com. Click episodes and look for today's date. You'll find all the story sources and links right there. The Newsworthy is ready for you to listen every weekday by 4 in the morning. I'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.